Well, good morning. It's good to see everybody that is here this morning. We will go ahead and get started with our call to worship. So if you'll please stand, we will sing His Name is Wonderful.
His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord, He's the great Shepherd, the Rock of all ages. Almighty God is He. Bow down before Him, love and adore Him. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He's the great Shepherd, the Rock of all ages. Almighty God is He. Bow down before Him, love and adore Him. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord.
And you may be seated.
Well, welcome. Good morning. Whatever it takes. Good morning. It is good to be in the house of God this morning. Couple of announcements. These things are our Lord's Supper. So if you didn't get one, we'll have somebody passing them out. But there is a table if during the handshake. Well, we don't have the handshake anymore. So if you don't have it, just let us know and the deacons will bring it to you. When we get ready, we'll do the bread first. Just pull this little tab and then turn it up and do the juice the same way as we get ready. This will be at the end of the service, by the way. Next Saturday at 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock will be a memorial service for Tamara, Doug, and Chris and the family. So 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock here next Saturday. Be in prayer for the family. They are in shock, knowing where she's at. She's in heaven, and that's the hope. But pray for them as the tears come, that God would encourage them. We have some that are sick, so be praying for one another. Hopefully, the second week in April, first weekend will be Easter. The second, hopefully, we will go back to having church Sunday nights. And then not long after that, we'll start Wednesday night activities as well. So maybe by the time April's done, we'll be into pretty normal activities at church. We will be doing Vacation Bible School in-house. It will be a little bit different. We are not going to have adult classes so we can keep the kids where they can spread out. We may, I got to talk with Heb about this, but we may do the youth at a different location or a different time so that it'll just be our children. That's what Vacation Bible School is, to reach them. But we are going to have some kind of Vacation Bible School. And then the youth are also going to go to Fuge, I think it's June 11th, somewhere around there. And parents, if you've got youth and they want to go, we're going to have you sign something. It's going to be up to you to let them go or not. I really am struggling with that decision to let them go to Fuge, but that's part of life, and that's what we're going to try to do. So help us to make that decision. If you do not want your kids going to Fuge, then don't let them. I don't know how to put it any other way. If you want them to go to Fuge, we're going to have the opportunity for them to go. So a lot of things going to take place in the next several weeks. So be in prayer for us. Some of these are pretty hard to make the decisions for these. Saturday, also, they will be nursery available on a limited basis. Well, that's enough of announcements. It's good to see you. And we're going to stand and welcome each other. And the way we do that, you know, is we do it with our hands waving. So stand up and make somebody feel welcome. Seated. Before I sit down, I want to read to you some scripture. First, it's in Colossians chapter 1, verse 19, and I'll keep on reading until I quit. But the Bible says, "For it pleased the Father that in Jesus all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross." And we know that's talking about Jesus. "And you," talking about us, "who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled." I chose these verses because without the shed blood of Jesus, we'd have nothing. We would be outside of God's will, and through the blood of Jesus Christ, we have the privilege to become a child of God and to walk with the Lord. So let's remember that as we meditate in our hearts for Lord's Supper. Let's pray together. Father Almighty, we love you. We praise you. What an awesome God you are. It's a privilege, Lord, to be here in the house of God, to worship with brothers and sisters, like-minded in faith, worshiping our Lord and Savior, claiming your death, burial, and resurrection for our salvation. Father, I pray that as we study the Word of God and as we do the things that you've called us and asked us to do, Father, that our responses would be well-pleasing to you. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts today as we take the Lord's Supper. We'll begin, Father, by examining our lives. And I pray prayerfully, Lord, that you would help us all to look at our life And Father, if there's things in our life that we need to ask forgiveness, Father, help us to do that today. We do pray for those, Lord, that have lost loved ones. We pray for Doug and his family. And Father, we're just grateful that once we're saved, Lord, you can't lose us. We belong to you forever, for eternity. And Father, I pray that Tamara's death would bring honor to you, and we would use her testimony, Father, to witness to others that that you never know how short life is. I do pray your blessings on Hillcrest Baptist Church, Lord, as we look to the future, the building of the Family Life Center, and Father, the getting back to normalcy in our worship times. I ask, Lord, that you would bless us with health, protection, Father, with commitment and surrenderedness to you. Be with those, Father, that are struggling with financial issues and family issues. We ask, God, that somehow or another, through all the trials that we go through, that would draw us closer to you. God, as we sing songs, as we pray to you, as we open up the word, I pray that everything we do, think, and say will bring honor to your name. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
And you may remain seated as we continue on with There Is Power in the Blood.
From the burden of sin, there's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win, there's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's side. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Whiter, much whiter than snow. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
And if you would please stand as we sing Jesus Paid It All.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. and change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to heal my own. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And for nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
And you may be seated. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." When no one cared about me, if I should live or die, and no one bothered asking, why go alone and cry? When burdens got so heavy that I could not face the day, then I'd feel his arms around me, and I'd hear him gently say, "Lean on me." When you have no strength to stand, when you feel you're going under, hold tighter to my hand, lean on me. When your heart begins to bleed, when you've come to the place that I'm all you have, then you find I'm all you need. When the road ahead seems rugged and the path is getting steep, I feel that I can't make it, and my heart begins to weep. Then I turn to see who's coming to join me in the way, and I'd see that it's my Savior, and I'd hear him gently say, "Lean on me." When you have no strength to stand, when you feel you're going under, hold tighter to my hand, lean on me. When your heart begins to bleed, when you've come to the place that I'm all you have, then you'll find I'm all you need.
Lean on me when you have no strength to stand. When you feel you're going under, hold tighter to my hand. Lean on me when your heart begins to bleed. When you've come to the place that I'm all you have, then you'll find I'm all you need. When you've come to the place that I'm all you have, then you'll find I'm all you need. I'm all you need. There's a good song, Lean on Me. Sometimes that's all we have left is to lean on the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, if you would, turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to look at verses 26 through 34. Chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians. This all has to do with examining our life before we take the Lord's Supper. So starting in verse 26, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick, or many are weak and die among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with this world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment, and for the rest I will set in order when I come. It's been over a year, more like a year and 3 months, since we've celebrated the Lord's Supper together. Sure has been a long time, and as we come to the Lord's table, I want you to think of what he's done in the past for you. I also want you to think what, for some, he's doing right now. Every single one of us probably have a need that God is meeting. So I want you to think on that too, and as we think about what he's done in the past and what he's doing right now, I also want you to think about the future. He's coming back one day. And we are to think about that, and as we take the Lord's Supper, that expresses that we believe that he's coming back, but the future also includes the next moment. It includes tomorrow. And the Lord may or may not come back the next moment or by tomorrow. So I want you to think about things that Jesus has promised to do, the things that he's going to. As I prepared the message for this communion time with Jesus, it's been such a long time that I have some things I think I need to remind some of you about. There have been some that have joined our church that maybe have never had the Lord's Supper the way we take it. So part of this is going to be a learning process for some, and others it just be a time of review. As Baptists, there's two ordinances that we follow, two that we keep. The ordinance of baptism, you get saved and then baptized. That's part of the command from Jesus. And then the second is to celebrate the Lord's Supper. These are two things that are real important to Jesus. In fact, they're so important, he told us several times in the Word to do it. You get saved, you get baptized. That's just part of the process. As you get saved and baptized, then you take the Lord's Supper. You do not take the Lord's Supper if you're not saved. We take it wrong when we're not saved, and the Bible says that's the reason some are sick, that's the reason some are asleep, and that asleep means some die because they've taken the Lord's Supper wrong. So I want you to know that. That's pretty important. It's not necessarily something you want to hear, but it's pretty important that we take the Lord's Supper in the right way. For new ones that have never taken the Lord's Supper at all, some of you have gotten saved, and this will be the first time you've taken the Lord's Supper. I've had people come to me and ask me, what do you think about as you take the Lord's Supper? What is it involved taking the Lord's Supper? And I can't answer that question for everybody, but I can tell you things to think about. In fact, I read this man, he wrote an answer for that. The Lord's Supper, he writes, is loaded with meaning, and I hope that each one of you have a special meaning about the Lord's Supper. It's an ordinance, a command instituted by Jesus at first to the disciples for their forgiveness and also fellowship in the Lord. But more than that, fellowship within the church. It's been said that before baptism, the new Christian goes public with their profession of faith. In baptism, we publicly proclaim that we belong to God. We make a testimony with our mouth by the baptism, by getting up, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. As we take the Lord's Supper together, it's a fellowship time. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. So as we take the Lord's Supper, and I'm taking it with you, I'm actually telling you, I want to be in your bosom. I want to be in love with you. I want you to be in love with me. We're brothers. We're sisters. And none of us are different in that fact. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is part of the baptism in the Lord's Supper that we partake in. As we take the Lord's Supper, I've already asked you to remember what he's done in the past, what he's doing now, what he's doing in the future. But I want you to remember the grace that God poured out on you as you take the Lord's Supper. And I'll remind you of some of these as we go on into the Lord's Supper later on. But right now, remember the grace that you have from Jesus Christ. The stuff that's going on today doesn't compare to the grace of Jesus. It's because of his grace that we can get through all this stuff. I also want you to remember that you've committed your life to the Lord Jesus. And part of that life is church. We're a fellowship of believers in Christ. You get baptized, it's like opening the door to walk with the Lord, but then you sit down at the Lord's table, we celebrate the Lord's Supper, and it becomes a fellowship, a koinonia type of thing. It's just a time of breaking the bread together, drinking the cup together in remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord's Supper is for those that profess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Remember that. So what do you think about during this time? I wrote down seven things, but there's a whole lot more than just seven things. But the first one I came up with was forgiveness. Remember the forgiveness that Jesus gave you when you got saved. But it goes further than that. As we take the Lord's Supper, we take it in the right way. Maybe there's somebody in here that you've wronged, and you need to ask them for forgiveness. Or maybe somebody's wronged you, and they need to come to you and make that right. So as we take the Lord's Supper, as we take that, I just dropped my cup, but as we take the bread and the drink represents Christ, there's a forgiveness that ought to just spring out of our hearts. The fellowship with church family. I mean, what a joy it is to be able to fellowship with you guys. Thank you, Steve. I'll probably knock it down again. So let me hang here for a second. Do you realize that when you come to church, we are a fellowship together? Man, it's a joy to see you guys come through the door. Now, after we get to talking, we get used to each other. But that one moment when you walk through that door, if you do like I do, you pray for people in the church. You pray Saturday for Sunday. You prepare your heart. And as God uses you, you realize, Leroy, when you come in, you're my brother. I better be your brother. You know, and we love each other. We care. We don't always agree with each other, but we'll get in here. We agree about the Bible. We agree that Jesus died for our sins. And one day we're going to spend eternity together. So as we take the Lord's Supper, this is a time of fellowship. And it doesn't have to be a long, drawn-out face. You know, it's a happy time. It's just a great time to fellowship with each other. Remember your salvation experience and that time you were baptized. And I know that's asking some of you to go way, way back. But I want you to remember it. One of the greatest privileges of being a pastor is to take somebody and go like that in the water and to see their face. Everybody's different. There's always a different look on their face, but it's always a look of joy. It's like the Bible says it's raising up a newness of life, but it's like they're experiencing that firsthand right then, and I get to see it. You guys don't necessarily get to, but I want you to remember your salvation experience. Some of the times they come up, I'll bring them up, they go, whew, boy, it feels good. And it does feel good. You feel like you're cleaner than you've ever been before. Or they'll come up and they just want to say, amen, praise the Lord. They just get so excited. So today, as we take the Lord's Supper, I want you to go all the way back to your salvation experience. And remember when you ask Jesus into your heart and also that baptism experience. Keep on going and remember your faithfulness and obedience to the Lord's Word. Now, that could work two ways here. You may not be satisfied with your faithfulness and your commitment. So remember that to the Lord. Lord, I'm not as faithful as I ought to be. So help me to become more faithful. Help me to become more committed. Maybe you're doing all the things that you have time to do and what you're able to do and committed to do. So thank the Lord for the privilege of being committed. Just remember the commitment and faithfulness that you have to the Lord's Word. Also, remember the death, burial, and resurrection. That's coming up at Easter time, but we don't have to wait till Easter to remember that. So as we take the Lord's Supper, I want you to look up at that cross and realize that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. He was buried and resurrected. Without His resurrection, none of us would be resurrected. Without Him defeating death, we'd all end up somewhere besides heaven. Also, and this is part of Scripture, remember the second coming of Jesus. Keep that in your mind all the time. Jesus is coming back, and He could come back this very second. Wouldn't it be great for those of us that are saved that Jesus came back right now? Amen. Man, I'm looking around, and if Jesus were to come back right now, how we'd meet, now this would be a true fellowship when we meet in the air like that. Can you imagine if Jesus came back this very second, and I couldn't even get the next word out. We'd just hear it, that trumpet, and take off. So I want you to remember the second coming. Also, I want you to remember your witness to others. Again, that requires some thinking. Do I witness like I ought to or not? And if you're not witnessing like you ought to, just ask God during the Lord's Supper to help you become a better witness. As we take the Lord's Supper, that's a witness right there that we love the Lord and we're saved. Others are watching. So we examine ourselves before we take the bread, before we take the juice. We do it in the right order, although in the Bible, it comes after the juice, but you have to take it right. Otherwise, there's consequences. So that's what we're going to look at. It's been over a year since we've looked at this, and I think it's after all that we've been through the year, that there may be some things that we need to examine and ask forgiveness about. Maybe there's some things that we haven't praised God about. Only God and you will know what's going on in your hearts. But let me read the scripture and then make a few comments about it. So 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 through 30. The Bible says, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep or die among you. So this in a nutshell says, examine yourself. Examine your salvation. Make sure that you're saved. Make sure that you have Jesus in your heart. Make sure that you're a child of God. That's the number one thing that we need to examine. Make sure that you're a child of God, that you're right with God. Make sure that you're walking with the Lord. Again, if you're not walking the way you ought to be, pretty simple. Ask God to help you. Forgive me, Lord, for not being the man of God I ought to be. Consider if there's some unconfessed sin in your life. Again, we've been without the Lord's Supper for over a year now. Is there some unconfessed sin in your life that you need to get right with God? This is not to point a finger and get on to you. This is a way to take the Lord's Supper in the right way. Lord, there are things in my life that I've not asked forgiveness for. It's pretty simple to do that. Lord, forgive me. And our loving Father, that love will pour out on you when you ask forgiveness. Those of us that ask forgiveness, the Bible says He's faithful to forgive us of that sin. And He goes further than that. He says, and from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1:9. Consider your heart today. How is your heart? Oh, I think we all need to concentrate on that. We have been hit so much with so much junk in the last year. And our heart gets crud covering it. I mean, we just become hard and we don't even mean to. It just happens. The things going on the news that affects us. And then we get cold to the right things. How is your heart today? Do you need to get something right with the Lord Jesus? Before we look at verses 31 and 32, I want to take you over to Hebrews chapter 9 and remind you of a couple verses that have to do with the Lord's Supper. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And the Bible says, without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. The shedding of blood is Jesus' blood. Without Him shedding blood, none of us could have forgiveness of our sins. Remember in the old days, in the old Bible days, the priest would shed the blood once a year for the people's sins. Once a year, can you imagine going all year long without forgiveness of your sins? I don't know how you guys are, but man, I have to ask every day for forgiveness. There's things in my life that I'm still struggle with getting control of, and I'm guilty, and I ask forgiveness. Without His shedding of blood, you and I would not have eternal life. And then chapter 9 of Hebrews, verses 11 through 14, the Bible says, but Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with His own blood He entered the most holy place once for all, one time, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of the bulls and goats and the ashes of the heifer and sprinkling of unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, cleanse you, cleanse your conscience from dead works to the serving the living God. So just a reminder, Jesus is the perfect answer to sin. He and He alone can cleanse you from the sin in your life. Nobody or nothing else can. We believe that. We take a stand on that. There's nothing going to make you right with God the Father except the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I heard this past week that there are other ways to get to heaven. And that's where the United States is going. We're trying to justify ways to get to heaven without the shed blood of Jesus. It's not going to happen. Without the shed blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Jesus was the perfect answer to the sin problem. He and He alone can cleanse us of our sin. He and He alone, this is the important thing, can satisfy God. At one time with Adam and Eve, we all became sinners. Only way to get back into God's will is through the blood of Jesus Christ. As we take the Lord's Supper, I want you to remember that. Let me read to you verse 12 again. Out of Hebrews chapter 9. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with His own blood, He entered the most holy place. Nothing else, no other kind of blood, but Jesus Christ. The question becomes, have you confessed your sin to Jesus? Have you accepted His life for your sinful life? Have you asked Jesus into your heart? So before we take the cup, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11 again and look at verses 31 and 32. The Bible says in verse 31, "For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. God has given us a chance today before we take the bread and the drink to judge our own lives." Verse 32, "But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord that we may not be condemned with the world." Once we get saved, our future is taken care of, but there is consequences to sin. We judge ourselves. We look at our own lives, and there's a few things I want to share with you, and then we'll get right to the cup in a second. But I want you to hold your cup, put it in your hand, and I'm going to suggest a few things to examine in your life before we take the bread. So as I share these thoughts, I want you to look at that bread as Jesus' body hanging on that cross for you, and think about the blood, how He spilt His blood and died on that cross for us. So here's the number one thing I want you to think about as you think about the Lord Jesus Christ: your own character. You know, when you have children, the children take after the character of the parents that are teaching. Would you agree with that? Well, I'm seeing a yes and a no out of the same family, but just point your finger at the other and say, yeah, they take after him. But the truth of the matter is, when we have the privilege to raise children, they end up a lot like we do, whether we like it or not. So does your character today reflect Jesus Christ? Does your character today reflect the Father in heaven? Because He's raised us ever since we got saved. He's taught us through the Word, through the preached Word, through the prayed Word, through the meditating of the Word. Does our character look like Jesus? As we think about that, I want you to think about the bread and the drink, the body that was hung on the cross for you, the shed blood for you. Secondly, examine your church fellowship, church attendance. I read a survey, and I tend to agree with this. This survey indicates that seldom is there present 50% of a church's membership on any given Sunday. And it could be higher than that. So any given Sunday, 50% of our members are not here. It could be up to 60 and 70%. So as we think about this and about the Lord Jesus Christ, could you, as a parent or a grandparent, you know, we have our children over, we'll have them over for Easter dinner. We've commanded them. We've asked them to come to eat dinner with us. Do you think we'd be satisfied with just half my family coming to eat dinner with us for Easter or Christmas dinner? So remember your church attendance as you take the Lord's Supper. I do not think that the Lord is satisfied with 50% of the people staying home that belong to a church on any given Sunday. I want you to think and examine your family relationships, your immediate family and your church family. Are you getting along together? Are your relationships the same way as Christ is to the church? You know, in Ephesians 5, the Bible tells us husbands to love our wife as Christ loved the church. Starts out, women, be submissive to your husband. And I don't believe there's a single woman in here that wouldn't agree with being submissive to a godly husband. I'm not telling you to be submissive to an ungodly husband. But the more godly we are, the more apt that our wives are going to want to be submissive to us, because they're going to be seeing Jesus Christ through us. How's your relationships at home? How's your marriage? How's your relationship with your children? But we're a family too. How's your relationship within the church? As you examine, I want you to examine your giving habits. The Lord has told us we ought to be tithing. In the Old Testament, they more than tithed, they gave offerings all the time. Do you tithe regularly? Do you give offerings regularly? Do you give them willingly? Do you give them with joy in your heart? What a privilege it is to know that whatever money that God gives me, He gave it to me. And I can give some of it back to Him, and I'll never miss the part I give back to Him. I don't know how He does that, but He sure does it. You know, tithing is tough. I know it is. It's hard. But I promise you, if you make $100 and you get $10 to the Lord, you'll never miss that $10, but you'll gain more than that $10. How does He do it? I don't know, but He does it. Examine the spiritual gifts that God has given you. He's gifted every believer with some kind of gift to serve His church and to serve Him. He's given you talents and gifts. How do you serve the Lord? Are you using those gifts to serve Him? So as we take this, I want you to examine the way you use your spiritual gifts. The sixth one is, do you show genuine concern for your brothers and sisters? A lot of stuff has taken place with us in the last year. A lot of us have ended up sick with the COVID. A lot of us have been dodging the COVID. We've had to rearrange our lives. And then a lot of people haven't returned back to church yet. And I don't blame them for not coming back. But sooner or later, I expect them to come back. Are we genuinely concerned that they're not here? Do we call them and say, I've missed you, I understand why you're not here, but I just want you to know that I'm thinking of you, and I love you, and I care for you, I'm praying for you every day. There's a slew of people that's not here this morning. Do you really care whether they're here or not? As we take this, I want you to examine that. This past year has been pretty tough. Really tough. So it's a good time to examine our lives. So we're going to take a moment and pray. Could you play something just quiet? We'll just let her, if you would, just close your eyes and with this and think about it, and then we'll take the Lord's Supper in a second. But you've heard a lot to examine. Would you look inwardly as we prepare our hearts to take the Lord's Supper? Father, I pray as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper that we would examine our hearts, examine our lives. And Father, if there's something we need to confess, that before we take the Lord's Supper, Lord, we'd confess it to you. We also want to take this time to praise you for who you are. You're our God and our Lord. You died on the cross for our sins because you loved us so much that you were willing to give up your Son so that we could have eternal life. We thank you, Lord, and praise you for the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that comes to abide in our hearts as we get saved. And Father, we thank you for each other. We thank you for the fellowship that we enjoy with each other. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of being a child of God together. Father, we pray as we look forward to the second coming that we'd all be looking and expecting you to come back today, that we would live as if you're coming back today. I do pray, Lord, that you'd bless us with your presence as we take the Lord's Supper, that even though this is just a piece of bread and a little bit of grape juice, Father, I pray that we take it in such a way that we just experience the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I love you and praise you and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you would, take your little cup and just take that top off. And if you don't have one, we have deacons. If you don't, raise your hands. I think everybody's got it. Okay. Just take that little piece of bread out. If you can't get it open, just hand it to your neighbor and they'll open it for you. This represents the body of Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." And I can just picture Jesus breaking it. "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Remember what Christ did for you. Same way with the cup. Take that thing off. If it's a little bit messy, that's okay. Before we take of the cup, I just kind of want you to look at it. Mine is bubbling. Mine looks a little bit like blood. And if you look long enough, you can actually see the face of Jesus in your mind. That he shed this for your sins, for you. And as I take the Lord's Supper, I realize how much he loves this old man, how much he loved me before I got saved. I think about him hanging on the cross, dying just for me. I know he died for everybody else, but as I look at this, it just becomes really personal. And this blood shed for me, for Jerry. Boy, when I think that, my heart just jumps with joy. He didn't have to die for me. I'm no different than anybody else. At one time, I was really rotten. I was sinful. Before the creation of this world, he knew Jerry. And who I was, what I am. Have you ever looked in the mirror? Wasn't quite thrilled with what you see in the mirror. But the Lord Jesus is always thrilled with us, his children. Now, there's consequences for the sinful part of our life, but he never quits loving us. He never regretted spilling his blood for us. The Bible tells us in verse 25 of 1 Corinthians 11, "In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me.'" So remember Jesus as you drink. Let's pray. Almighty Lord, again we thank you for the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us, Lord. Your love, your grace, and your mercy. Thank you for forgiveness of sin. Thank you, Father, for the path that you light for each one of us. I pray, Lord, that as we remember all these things, that you shed your blood for all of them. And as we go home today, Father, that we just enjoy life with you. Give us your joy today, Father. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to share something from Billy Graham. I know he wrote this just for us for this morning. This was one of the things I read this morning, and I loved it. So I thought, well, I'll just share it with you guys. It's based on Numbers 22 or 32, 23. You may be sure that your sin will find you out. Isn't it amazing how he wrote that just for us this morning? We've talked about sin in our life. We don't need the Bible to tell us, as it does, that there can be pleasure in sin. We know this from our own experience, but the Bible also says that sin's pleasure is only for a season. Then it's over, leaving us bitter and finally destroying us. A day of reckoning also always comes. No one has ever committed a sin that he or she did not have to pay for. Luke 15, I think that was one of the Sunday school classes lesson today. We read of a loving father and his son who learned this lesson the hard way. The boy had been reared in a wonderful home with a father and mother who worshiped God. They loved their children and tried to raise them right. But this young man left home and wasted his inheritance on foolish and sinful living, and he paid the price. Eventually, he found himself living in a pig pen and eating with the pigs. That is how low he sank before he headed back home. Billy Graham asked, what sin do you need to leave behind? Repent and return to your Father today. He wants to welcome you home. I think it's verse 20 of Luke 15 where the Lord God runs to the prodigal son. And as he runs to the prodigal son, he grabs that boy and he places a kiss right there. Welcome home, my beloved son. I've missed you so. He raised that boy up to do the right thing, and he let that boy go. And the boy returned back to his father. That's a picture of us. Do you need to return to the Father today? We're going to give an invitation. The invitation is, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, please come on forward, and I'll share with you. I'll pray with you how to invite the Lord in your heart. For Christians, we've celebrated the bread and the drink. We've examined our lives. Is there something that you need to get right with God? Today would be a good day during this time of invitation. You don't have to come forward. You can do that in your pew. You can come forward, and I'll be glad to pray with you. You can come up here at the altar by yourselves or with your spouse and just have prayer. But let's give this time to the Lord. What a precious time he's spent with us so far. I know he's here. I know he's right here with us. So let's stand, and if God is speaking to your heart, please respond to him, and I'll do what I can to help you. I'll be up front just waiting for you.
Have
Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray.
Be good when we go back to regular worships. We need to be praying that God keeps us all healthy and that He allows us to get into this slowly but fast at the same time. Father Almighty, thank you for this day. God, for the blessings that you poured out on us. We praise you. It's been a good time to worship you, Lord. I pray that you would receive our worship as a sweet-smelling aroma to your nose. Father, be with each one now as they leave. I pray traveling mercies on the way home. I pray, Father, for the rest of the day that it would just be a time of peace and joy in our lives. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.